there is a very special delight to watch or talk about politics, strategic affairs, economy, social issues, anything in a democracy when the parliament is not only in session but is also functional, as has been the case over the past few days in this budget session. So there's been a little bit of fracas, some people have walked out, etc. But debates are going on, people are talking, and I'd say that until now the quality of debate has been quite good. That's why it was even more important and interesting that this new turn in India-China military situation in eastern Ladakh took place when parliament is in session. Because the Chinese issued a statement yesterday, and we had mentioned it in our episode 680, where we said that the Chinese had said that a planned synchronized withdrawal of armored columns, that is tanks and infantry combat vehicles, or what used to be called APCs in the past, that had started on the two banks of the Pangong Lake. And we were waiting for the Indian statement. But the reason the Indian statement did not come yesterday was simply because Parliament was in session. So when Parliament is in session, then government has to first tell Parliament about any such important development. So this morning, we had Defence Minister Rajnath Singh rise in both houses of Parliament and read out a statement. Now, you can read out the statement in English and Hindi, and I will share both with you. But because his language is Hindi, also this government's language is Hindi much more than English. So I'd rather go by the Hindi version of what he said. And there are a few things that then become very clear. In fact, you get more clarity from the Hindi version than the English version. So what is happening? He says that China and India have been talking for quite some time now about how to address this situation on the border. And he also recapitulates what happened beginning April last year when clashes took place. Clashes first started some in Sikkim area, some on the north bank of Pangong Lake. And then he said, he gives you the picture that what happened after that, etc., etc. And there were clashes, and both sides then piled up the forces. Chinese tried to violate the line of actual control in several places, but they were stopped by Indian forces, and there was a clash at Galwan. In fact, as we speak about Galwan, there's another interesting story that came up. I can't vouch for it because it's a story in a foreign agency, but it's a story by TASS. TASS is a reputed Russian, formerly Soviet agency, but it is reputed in the Russian or Soviet context. Because even in the past, they used to say in Soviet Union that there are two news organizations here. One is called The Truth, one is called The News. So Pravda and TASS, but there is no news in The Truth and there is no truth in The News. But you would imagine at another level that it's possible that TASS is better informed about what's happening in China, because China and Russia are not allies. So that TASS story actually says, it came yesterday quite coincidentally, that the Chinese suffered 45 dead in Galwan. Once again, it's a TASS story, I can't vouch for it. So there was a clash in Galwan, after which the two sides had disengaged and that area had been vacated by the Chinese. But many other friction zones continued and friction became much tougher in the Pangong area. And there, if you would remember, it looked like it was all going in a one-sided manner, with the Chinese pushing and India either conceding a little ground or holding firm somehow, but on the defensive. But something dramatic happened on the night of 29th and 30th of August. So what India did was, India carried out a nightly operation whereby its crack well-trained troops went up on what is called as the Kailash Range, overlooking the southern side of Pangong River, not just overlooking the southern bank of Pangong Lake, but also having a commanding view of some key Chinese PLA garrisons there, including Moldo, where you will find that very often these rounds of talks take place. One round takes place in Moldo, one in Chushul, on the Indian side. And as that happened, The Chinese reacted sharply. They tried to take one of these places back. There was a near clash. India opened fire in this area, and also Indian troops climbed up on higher reaches along finger 4 and finger 5 on the north bank. And those higher reaches, those were like mountaineering expeditions. From those higher reaches, those few troops were then dominating the Chinese position down below. Once again, the Chinese tried to dislodge them, and Indian troops fired almost 300 rounds. That was reported only much later. So that status quo was changed in this area by Indian forces. That you can now see has given India a strong bargaining position. So in the three or four rounds of talks after that, the Chinese side was insisting that you first withdraw from the southern bank positions and then we will withdraw from the northern bank positions. India was insisting on everything being simultaneous, but also to say that even in a simultaneous situation, one side has to start the engines first. So you came in first, so you start the movement backward first. So it's all graded. Everybody doesn't start moving back because there is no trust. Remember that old line that Ronald Reagan had used with Gorbachev when US and Soviet Union were having their arms control talks. He said, trust but verify. So this again is a situation, an extreme situation of trust but verify, because trust is very limited, if at all. On the Indian side, I would say very little. On the Chinese side, I don't know. The Chinese know better. But they also know that a game that one can play, the other can also play. That is how India went up on the Kailash range on 29th and 30th of August. In fact, if you see the column that retired Lieutenant General H.S. Parnagh, who knows this area very well because he was a Northern Army commander, he had even then said that this is a very significant move and the Chinese will have to respond to it. So the Chinese were taken aback and put on the defensive. I think that leverage is now being encashed. So the Chinese had some leverage, India built some, and that's how a negotiation took place. Because remember, in fact, I quoted on Twitter just a couple of days back when George Shultz, the former Secretary of State of America and a great mind, passed away 2 months older than 100 years. There's a line from him which you will see on my screen, which is something like, negotiations, unless your power casts a shadow across the table, then negotiations is just another name for capitulation, for surrender. So that India has avoided because of what strength India gained on the night of 29th and 30th August. That is very crucial. Remember that. So if you remember the turning points in this story, the clash near finger 4, the physical clash, the clash at Galwan, the withdrawal from Galwan, and then Indian troops going up to Kailash range, that will be one of the turning points. Now that is where the troops from both sides and also heavy weapons were the closest, because the terrain there is such on the southern side of Pangong, the terrain is flat. It's high altitude, but it's like rolling sand dunes. It's a bit like, what is Ladakh? Large parts of Ladakh are like a mountain desert. So very cold, very high altitude, but also rolling plains. So you can use large armored forces, particularly the area that's called Spangur Gap. Now that is the area through which if the Chinese come in, they can pulverize Chushul and then get very close to the lifeline to Leh, which is India's nerve center or heart in Ladakh. At the same time, if India breaks through the Spangur Gap, it goes and threatens China's rear, and that's the closest point where Indian forces can cut off the Chinese highway linking Tibet and Xinjiang. So this is a very crucial location. That's why tension was so high. And you will see these visuals today that Indian Army has put out of tanks moving back. Now, Indian Army visuals would show that the Chinese tanks first start driving back, then Indian tanks start driving back. And it's very calibrated. Do tank aapke ja rahe hai, do tank humare ja rahe hai. And these are evenly matched forces. The Chinese have T-96 tanks, which is their latest tank. India has a T-90 tank. So there are no chota mota light tanks there. This is real stuff on both sides. Real cavalry on both sides. these units have been much too close with each other all these months. So it's a good thing that they are withdrawing. And once that happens, you go step by step, then chances are that other troops, other formations, maybe artillery first, and others also will come back. Now, what is Rajnath Singh's statement saying specifically on this? He says on this, first of all, he says, what is India's position? India's position is 3 points. One, respect the LAC fully. Two, make no effort to alter the status quo on LAC. And third, that all agreements on LAC and peace and tranquility that the two sides have signed up on so far should be observed in their entirety. Then he goes on to say that the two sides have mechanisms. So what they have done is that over this past 9 months of tensions, the two militaries have engaged. They've been military to military talks, but they've been diplomatic and political talks as well. And he mentions that the two foreign ministers have met, the two our national security advisor and his counterpart, who is the Chinese special representative for talks with India, they have also met, and they have all arrived at a conclusion that this should be settled peacefully. Besides this, there is also what is called as WMCC, which is Working Mechanism for Consultation and Coordination on India-China border, that has also been meeting. He says now that this disengagement at Pangong has started. It has also been decided, it's a new thing that he said, that within 48 hours of this disengagement being completed, the military commanders of both sides will meet again to similarly resolve issues around other friction points on the LAC in Ladakh within 48 hours of completing this. So what will this mean? This means that while on this southern bank, India first of all removes its heavy weapons, then I presume other forces will come down and other weaponry will come down. And similarly, the Chinese on the northern bank, they had come up to finger 5, Indian forces were finger 4. In fact, finger 4, both were, it was a bit of a messed up situation. They were very close with each other. The Chinese will go right back behind finger 8 at what is called as the Sirijap base. That is the Chinese base there. India, on the other hand, will come back to finger 3, which is India's settled base there, which is the Dhansing cap, which is the Colonel Dhansing Thapa post. Now, Dhansing Thapa will tell you about, that's an aside, but that is the post where Indian forces were located. From there, each side, from either end, each side would then go out patrolling, the Chinese from Sirijap, the Indians from Dhansing Thapa post. So what is now going to happen is that both sides go back to their bases, and for now all patrolling is suspended, which means between finger 4 to finger 8, no side comes out to patrol. What used to happen earlier was that Indian side would try going up towards finger 8, claiming that our territory is till finger 8. Whenever at some point soon enough, the Chinese side will stop them, then they will have a little argument and come back. Similarly, the Chinese will come towards finger 4. At some point, Indian side will confront them, and after a little bit of tamasha, they will go back. What happened last year was, in October 2019, a really audacious Indian commander said that I must get to finger 8. So what if they stop me on this road along the lake, because then I can be seen very easily. So he sent a patrol up on the hills. So that patrol went over the hills, ridge after ridge, and reached finger 8. And that got the Chinese very concerned. It's a bit of guesswork on my part, but it is possible that what the Chinese did on the North Bank was a response to that. Because each side is asserting its claim to this territory, now it becomes a kind of no man's land, which is what Rajnath Singh also says. In fact, he says that both sides have now agreed that they will go back to their permanent and accepted bases, which means any area which either side is just patrolling to establish its claim is right now out of the reckoning for both sides. So basically, warring soldiers have been separated and a kind of buffer zone has been created. Now, when you say buffer zone, some people get very upset because they think it's all at India's cost. That is a question we can answer later, but to the extent we know, it is not like that. It is a mutual arrangement, and both sides have made accommodation on this. Then he says that both sides have also agreed that all the new structures they built in these areas, these could be bunkers, these could be pillboxes, these could be shelters, anything. All the new structures that they built in these areas will now be dismantled, and the land form will be restored to what this was before this tension started. That's a very important thing, and as I told you earlier, there will be a temporary moratorium on military activity in these areas, particularly patrolling. That will only resume after both sides have made some basic agreements on maintaining peace and tranquility. Now, the reason I say I find the Hindi version more significant is that the Hindi version uses two expressions which are not so clear in the English translation. So, one, he says, yahan yathasthiti ban jayegi. Now, yathasthiti in Hindi is translated specifically as status quo. So, for those saying that he has not said that status quo will be established, he is only saying this is disengagement. So, yathasthiti has been used in Hindi. Proof of the pudding lies in the eating. So, we will see what happens in times to come. Second, in the Hindi version, he says, in the English version, he says, we have conceded nothing. In the Hindi version, he said, ek inch bhi zameen nahi diye, that we haven't even given 1 inch of land to the Chinese. That question will come up. It will be asked when we talk about Depsang Plains going ahead. So, look at the map of Eastern Ladakh. It's a very approximate map. There are, which are the major friction points? So, Pangong was one major friction point, and I explained to you why. Because this is where you have tankable terrain. You can either push in sizable forces from the Indian side, undercutting the Chinese, or the Chinese can push in sizable armored forces to the Indian side, basically cutting off Eastern Ladakh from Leh. So, that is why this is crucial. Then, as you go up north, there is the area called Gogra. Now, Gogra again is a reasonably flat area. It's not as flat as, say, the south bank of Pangong So, but it has some flat area. It is partly tankable. It's also an area from where either side can have ingress to the other. So, again at Gogra, there's been tension. It has been reduced to some extent because the Chinese withdrew a lot of the troops they had put in across what India sees at the LSE, but a few remain, maybe 500 meters Indian side of the LSE. So, that is the next friction point. Galwan right now is calm because both sides are separated. Then the next big friction point is Depsang Plains, which is right up north, and we have talked about this often. That is an area again of vulnerability for both sides. One, that is the area where India's borders meet, not just Aksai Chin, but they reach out to Sinkiang. So, in fact, that is right next to Karakoram Pass, which opens out into Sinkiang, and all areas sort of north of Karakoram Pass is border with Sinkiang. That is part of the map of India and currently in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Again, that's an area, Depsang Plains are called Depsang Plains because that is also a high altitude desert, and some of it is quite solid because Depsang Plains are also a high desert which is like plains, quite solid, a bit like a rocky plain, and again it is very tankable. Now, yet again, if India were to push in armored columns from there, they can again get behind the Chinese positions and reach their highway. Similarly, if the Chinese are able to push in their columns and take Daulat Beg Oldi, then they can go and they can undercut India's forces on Siachen Glacier. And if anything, India's depth for defending is very narrow in this area. So, both sides see great deal of opportunity or vulnerability in that area. Now, there are two views on Depsang. One view is the view among many Modi critics who say that the Chinese have only now, as part of this tension last year, have started denying India access to its patrolling points in Depsang area. And because India has denied access to those patrolling points, although the Chinese have not come in and occupied these areas, but that means India has been denied access to almost 1,000 square kilometers of area. Now, more than territory, this area is also important because, as I told you, this is tankable terrain. Either India can put in large number of tank forces there, mobile forces there, or the Chinese can do it. The other view is, which is the government view and which is the view also I hear from many veterans, that these problems in Daepsang have been going on for a long time, particularly since 2013. And both sides have obstructed each other in the past from going to these areas, but they relent, thoda bhaichara goes on between border forces. But lately the Chinese have become tougher, although if India wants, it can find other routes to get to these places, but that might lead to confrontation. So I suspect the hierarchy of a degree of difficulty will be Pangong, then Gogra, and then Daepsang will be the big issue. So we now have to see how this goes step by step by step. I would also like to remind you that the first report that told you that something like this was going to happen was written by my colleague Snehesh Alex Philip in November last year. So I'm sharing that report with you because he had then said that India and China are coming closer to a resolution, and he had also given us an idea of what this resolution might be. Now another indication has come in because we saw an article from Sun Weidong, the Chinese ambassador to India, who wrote in the Policy Chronicle an article saying that boundary dispute should be put in its appropriate place, that it should be seen in a rational and constructive manner, that differences should not become disputes. Rajnath Singh, on the other hand, in his statement has said that we think that the boundary situation is central to our bilateral relationship, that it can't be that you have tensions or unsettled borders and carry on normally with your other relationships. So that is where the two sides disagree, and it's good that both disagreements are out in the open and on the record. Now, before I conclude, I had promised you that I'd tell you something more about Dhan Singh Thapa. Now, Dhan Singh Thapa was a remarkable soldier, Gurkha Regiment, 1/8 Gurkha Rifles. He was a major in 1962. And as major, he was posted in Sirijap area. Remember, Sirijap is the area behind Finger 8 where the Chinese have their base now and to which they are now withdrawing. So, he was protecting the Sirijap area with one company of Gurkha Regiment, 1/8 Gurkha Rifles. He was there, and because he had to protect about 48 square kilometers of area, his company was spread out. So, where he was located at Sirijap 1, he had about 28 soldiers with him, and he came under attack from PLA, much larger numbers, with much better weaponry, and they fought back. They fought back. First, they were reduced to 8. By that time, they had beaten back one PLA attack. A second attack came, they were reduced to 3. That is when they were overwhelmed, and it was presumed that everybody has been killed. So, just as it happened with Rezangla, it was presumed that they have fought to last man, last round. It so happened that last 3 were overwhelmed and captured by the Chinese, but nobody knew anything about it. Although one of them, Tulsiram Thapa, he was a soldier, a jawan, he escaped from Chinese captivity, but he also did not know that the Chinese had 2 others with them. So what happened was, it's one of those stories that you see in the movies. In fact, you've seen the movie, if you've seen the movie Sangam, Raj Kapoor Sangam in the 60s, that was a bit like this, that somebody is seen missing in action, then considered dead and given a national honor posthumously. So in this case, Dhan Singh Thapa, then a major, was given Paramveer Chakra, India's highest gallantry award, posthumously. It just so happened that later he came back as a prisoner. He rose to lieutenant colonel, and in fact he passed away on 5th of September 2005, and then he was a director on the board of Sahara. Obviously, it was done by way of honoring him, by way of having a war hero in that place. So that done, before I let you go, I will share one visual with you. And please see this visual. This comes from a very smart Twitter handle called Indian History Picks. I don't know who runs it, but I follow it very carefully. It's very interesting. What this visual tells you is, it shows you the front page of the Indian Express in July 1962. See the headlines. The headlines on this newspaper on the front page say that the Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru then says that he is pleased that Chinese have agreed to withdraw from Ladakh. And then he says also, just as Rajnath Singh has done today, that he compliments Indian troops for standing firm and making the Chinese withdraw. So this handle, Indian History Picks, reminds us that that happened in July, and just a few months later, in October of the same year, India and China were fighting a full-fledged war in the same area. So once again, what's the lesson? The lesson is, don't declare victory or don't declare the end of hostilities in a hurry. Don't be hasty. Trust but verify.